Reading in Ezekiel 34, verse 11, first of all, and then we'll be looking at Luke 19. So put your finger in Luke 19 or your marker, because we're going there after Ezekiel. But first of all, Ezekiel 34, 11. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they are scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them in the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. And again in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, from the beginning. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to find him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. This is the word of God.
Lord, as we consider your word to us today, we pray that you would bless it, that it would be a great blessing to us, not only individually, but as a church and as a community. We pray that you would speak to us, speak to our hearts. May your Holy Spirit come in and teach us and guide us, correct us where we need to be corrected, and give us wisdom, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let's turn once again to Luke. Luke 19. Where we are going to spend the remainder of the morning together. Luke 19, verse 10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. A friend gave my daughter, Anna Lee, a book not long ago. It's a children's book about Zacchaeus. And if you're a parent, you will probably have seen a children's book of Zacchaeus in your house at some point. And it's my daughter's favorite book. She'll carry it around with her wherever she goes. She'll come up to me or my wife and whine and whimper until we read it to her, until we put her on our knee and read the entire story. And sometimes she'll want us to read it again and again and again. And as parents, you know what this is like. Zacchaeus is a great story, but the truth is that I never really thought much of the story I learned about it in Sunday school as a child, and now I'm learning about it more as I read it to my daughter, but I never really thought much of it. I know the song, and many of you will know the song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And so we know that song in our heads. We know the story. But yet, what do we take out of it? Is it just a children's story? And for me, for the longest time, it was just a children's story. Until I started reading it over and over to my daughter. And then a few weeks ago, in my own personal study, I read through chapter 19, 1 through 10. So Zacchaeus, the story of Zacchaeus is a beautiful children's story, one that we can repeat over and over again, one that children can understand. But yet there's more to it. It goes deeper than that. It's not just something that will make us happy, because it does make us happy. But it gives us a depth in our understanding of God's word and who Jesus is. So before we tackle this passage together, let's consider the setting. Let's consider what Jesus is doing here, because it's very important, as we'll find out, to this story. In chapter 18, verse 31, Jesus took the 12 aside. And we see here that Jesus is going up to Jerusalem. He's done teaching. He's done teaching parables. He's done with his miracles. He's done all these things to show who he is. And now we find out here what he's doing in chapter 18, verse 31. We're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again. So this is about, our story here of Zacchaeus is about 1 week before Jesus is going to be crucified on Mount Calvary. He knows what's planned. He knows what's coming. He knows that he's walking straight to his death. And then, as we'll see here in a minute, there's an urgency in his movements. And yet he takes the time to enter Jericho. Why did he do that? Why did he enter Jericho? But here we find in verse 10 of chapter 19, a verse that basically summarizes the entirety of Jesus' existence on earth. Why did Jesus came? And verse 10 tells us, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. There are very few statements in the entirety of the scriptures that encapsulate the purpose of what Jesus came to do. And yet at the same time, it's a pronouncement that divides, because as we'll see here, it brings envy and anger to the proud, and yet it brings joy and excitement and happiness to the humble. So for the rest of our time here today, we're going to find out what it means that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And we have three emphases this morning, three emphases from Zacchaeus and from his life. First, we see that Zacchaeus is a man who seeks Jesus. And then we'll see that Zacchaeus is a man who receives Jesus. And then we'll finish finally in David's three-point form here. Zacchaeus is a man who is changed by Jesus. Now, I'm not sure how much you know about tax collectors in your personal study, or obviously now in 2011, we're probably very scared of tax collectors. But how much do you know about tax collectors back in, you know, circa 30 AD? Maybe in your own personal study, you've read a little bit about what tax collectors were like. But basically, let me give you a summary. The Roman government would hire men to collect taxes from the people in the land. And many of these tax collectors would take more money than was appointed for them to take. And so they were known as liars and cheats and blackmailers. And Zacchaeus here, his name indicates to us that he was probably Jewish, which makes it even worse, because the Jews hated the Roman government. And so Zacchaeus would have been known as somebody who was somebody that betrayed not only his Jewish faith, but his Jewish nation as well. But what do we see here in verse 3? Now, Zacchaeus was the marginalized of the marginalized. Remember, he was a tax collector. He was hated. He was a cheat. But what do we see here in verse 3? It says he wanted to see who Jesus was. Literally, he was seeking to see Jesus. What could a tax collector possibly want with a simple carpenter from Nazareth? Nothing good comes out of Nazareth, right? But what made Zacchaeus want to see Jesus so earnestly? What was his motivation? We don't know what was going on in his mind. We don't know if his motives were pure. But we do know that Zacchaeus' energy and intensity can be unmatched here. We get a clear view of what it means to seek Jesus earnestly. It says in the children's song, it says he climbed up in a sycamore tree, right? For the Lord he wanted to see. So Zacchaeus obviously had no care, no personal care for himself. He didn't care what others thought about him. He ran, he perched himself into a tree. Is this how the chief tax collector is supposed to act? Is this how somebody who's supposedly in high authority is supposed to act? To run, to climb a tree, to see a teacher walking through Jericho. And yet it doesn't matter what everyone else thinks here to Zacchaeus. It doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter who's sticking their nose up at Zacchaeus. Because Zacchaeus is seeking to see Jesus. Baptist minister once said, I wish, and I think we can all connect with this. He said, I wish there were more of us who did not mind being laughed at if only what we did helped us to see Jesus Christ. So Christian, church, are you continuing to seek Jesus daily? Do you share in Zacchaeus' desire and passion to see the Messiah? In fact, will you forsake all, even your own dignity in the eyes of others, in order to catch a glimpse of Jesus? Now, there's many out there who would say that we need to never lose our self-respect, our pride, our confidence in ourselves. But as we see here with Zacchaeus, what is our self-respect compared to the respect we receive from the God of the universe? Because Zacchaeus, he forsook his self-respect in favor of seeing Jesus. He abandoned all pride so that he could see the Son of God. He sought Jesus. And as Jeremiah tells us, when you seek him, you will find him. When you seek him with all your heart. And so that's what Zacchaeus was doing here. He sought Jesus. But yet, we also see here that Zacchaeus was sought by Jesus. He was sought by Jesus. Consider the events that happened here. Jesus entered Jericho. Okay, now from what we know reading the rest of Luke here and even the rest of the Gospels, we don't see any other event that happened when Jesus passed through Jericho. There's no other recorded event. So it seems that the sole reason Jesus passed through Jericho was to seek and save Zacchaeus. I mean, think about that for a second. Here's the Son of God. Remember the setting here. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He knows he's going to be betrayed, beaten, crucified. He knows he's on his way to pay the price the world owes for sin. He knows this is all happening, and there's this sense of urgency here. He says, Zacchaeus, come down immediately from that tree. Here is Jesus passing through this cursed city of Jericho and seeking out a rejected and despised and marginalized tax collector. This is the kind of Savior that we have in Jesus, though. He's a shepherd. We've been singing about that all this morning. He's a shepherd who seeks out his sheep. He'll leave the 99 in order to save the one. We sang it just earlier. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. As the prophet Isaiah said, we're all like sheep. We've all gone astray. Does that connect with you? That you're a sheep and you've gone astray. We're dumb sheep. That's the fact of the matter here. We want our own way. We don't want God's way. Zacchaeus was going a different way. He wanted his own way. He wanted his own sheepfold. We don't want to be in God's pen. We want to do our own thing. But God, in his grace, remember, grace is about what God does for us, not about what we earn for ourselves. God, in his grace, doesn't give us what we deserve. We deserve hell. We deserve death. And yet, look at the shepherd here who searches desperately for his sheep. Zacchaeus doesn't deserve that. He's a nobody. He's a sinner. He's a rebel. He's forsaken his father Abraham's faith in order to live a life of wealth and prosperity. He's a deceit. He's a fraud. But that's me. That's you. That's who we are. Praise God that we have a Savior who stops everything he's doing, like he said in the parable, stops everything he's doing to find that lost coin, no matter how insignificant that coin may be. He searches high and low in his house to find that lost coin. And when he finds it, he throws a party. Do you see that here in what Jesus is doing? He's seeking out Zacchaeus. He's going through Jericho to seek out a sinner. The second thing we note here is that the shepherd knows the names of his sheep. The shepherd knows the names of his sheep. Jesus called Zacchaeus by name. He looked up into the tree and said, Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus has heard his name called his whole life, and he's a tax collector, so it probably wasn't in a good context, right? Zacchaeus didn't hear his name treated with love and respect very often. In fact, folks probably talked about him behind his back. There goes Zacchaeus, the tax collector. He's probably out to rob people again. And yet here's Jesus, who must have said his name with only the kind of love and grace that his mother would have used his name when he was a child. Jesus called him by name. Isaiah says, fear not. He says, oh Lord, the Lord said, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. I have summoned you by your very name. You are mine. So even though there's a universal aspect, a universal element to salvation, the fact that God saved mankind from hell and from death, here we see a personal element. Our Savior knows us by name. He has our names written down in his book of life. He's not only our Savior, but he's our friend. Isn't that amazing? So Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus, but Zacchaeus was also being sought by Jesus. Second, we see here that Zacchaeus received Jesus. Now, we also have to recognize that Jesus was offering himself to be received. Here's the humility that we have of Jesus. He's the Son of God, creator of the universe, and yet he offers himself to man. Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house today. He invites himself to Zacchaeus' house. The fact that man is able to receive the King of Kings is just astounding in and of itself. Because we often take for granted Christ's humility. Not just that he came to earth. He left the riches of heaven for the brokenness of earth to die a death on the cross. We take that for granted. But we also take for granted his humility in life here on earth. What he did, how he acted here on earth. Think about when Jesus went to be baptized by John. And John said, Jesus, I need to be baptized by you. But Jesus said, no, you will baptize me. And he urged him, and it was so. And then again, when Jesus was in the upper room, he's dining with his disciples. He gets up from the table, takes off his outer garment, ties a towel around his waist, and proceeds to wash the feet of his disciples. Just amazing. It's an act that would have been astounding. And yet he comes to Peter, and Peter says, this is how I would react, I know. Peter says, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Are you going to wash my feet? Jesus, you will never wash my feet. But Jesus washed his feet and said, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And here in Luke 19, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. I'm offering myself to you, the tax collector, the cheat, the liar, the sinner, the outcast, the reject. But this shouldn't surprise us, right? Because Jesus has already shown us what kind of man he is and what kind of man and woman he's coming to seek and save. We saw how he went to a party with Matthew and his sinner friends. He offered himself to women, to children, to beggars, to the blind, the nobodies. Like I was saying earlier in the children's talk, there's no favoritism. There's no partiality with God, who he seeks to save. He's the Lord of lords, yet he's inviting himself to dine with the sinner of sinners. How would you react to this? What would be your thought? What would, if you saw this happening in front of you, if you were in the crowd, what would you say? What would you do? Would you say, man, Jesus, he's a merciful, he's a humble guy. This is amazing. Or would you react like the crowd? Would you be part of that crowd? Would you murmur? See, the crowds here are murmuring. Is he really going to the house of a tax collector? Of a sinner? Unbelievable. The angels in heaven at that time were rejoicing, and yet here on earth, the crowds were murmuring. They were grumbling. I wonder if that's how we are sometimes. We're grumblers, we're murmurers. Instead of extending the love of God to each and every person we come in contact with, no matter race or gender or social class, oftentimes we find that they're below us, maybe even spiritually. And I have a hard time with that too. Sometimes I'm like, do I really want to associate with this person? They're below me. That's how the crowds were here. They murmured. And so we must repent of this pride, because it's often the case that when we become a Christian, we forget how naked and filthy we were before Jesus came and clothed us himself. We forget that it's Jesus that gives us salvation. We forget that it's Jesus who changed our hearts. And we look down on the sinner. We look down on the poor. We look down on the marginalized. If only we could rejoice with those who rejoice. If only we could see the salvation of a sinner and say, praise God, Zacchaeus is saved. He was once blind, but now he sees. Jesus said himself, I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I came to call the sinners. Verse 5 says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. So it wasn't a question. He wasn't saying, Zacchaeus, what do you think? Can I come over tonight? Can I have dinner with you? Would that be okay? It's a command. He says, immediately come down. I must stay at your house. Notice those words. Immediately, I must stay at your house today. And then Zacchaeus responds. He came down at once and welcomed him gladly. See Zacchaeus receive Jesus. There's no hesitation. There's no delay. He didn't know that Christ was on his way to die. He didn't know that this would be the only time that he'd get to meet with Jesus. And yet here he is, coming down immediately. This should come as an encouragement to us, but also a warning. Because we don't know the day, we don't know the hour when we will die or when Christ will return. We don't know if it's today or 40 years from now. All we know is that Christ Jesus is calling us to meet with him today, now. It's a command. Faith and repentance, now. Why should we delay? Friend, if you're not a Christian today, why should you delay any longer? Why should you not repent of your sin and trust in Christ? What is keeping us from Jesus? Is it pleasure? Is it the pursuit of happiness? I know that. I come from America. It's what we pride ourselves on, the pursuit of happiness. Is it achievement? What's keeping us from Jesus? Is it sex? Is it power? What is it? Because Zacchaeus had all these things. And so did King Solomon. If you'll think back with me, King Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. He says, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Zacchaeus had tasted that life of privilege and wealth. He knew power. He knew pride. And yet there he is, rushing down a tree to meet with Jesus, to serve Jesus. See how he obeys here. Finally, we'll see here that Zacchaeus received him gladly. He received him rejoicing. Happy the home, the hymn says. Happy the home that welcomes you, Lord Jesus. Truest of friends, most honored guest of all, where hearts and eyes are bright with joy to greet you, your slightest wishes eager to fulfill. Is this how we are? Is this our attitude towards Jesus? Are we glad to meet with him? Are we glad to come in here today and meet with him? Or was it a chore for us to get up in the morning, put on some nice clothes, get in the car, and be in here for a couple hours? Does it bring us joy? Are we glad? Are we most honored that Jesus is our guest? Calvin comments here. He says, the great readiness of Zacchaeus to obey, his hastening to come down from the tree, and his joy in receiving Christ exhibit still more clearly the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit. God is working on Zacchaeus' heart. Even though he is receiving Jesus, Jesus is offering himself to Zacchaeus. He's working on his heart through the Holy Spirit. He's a man who sought Jesus, but was sought by Jesus. Finally, we see here that Zacchaeus is a man who was changed by Zacchaeus. Verse 8, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here now I give half of my possessions to the poor. If I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. So what's the lesson here? What's the lesson from this children's story? The lesson is that Zacchaeus got it. Here we see the effects of the powerful change that's happened in his heart. It's a powerful change that also happened in his life. Just before this event, Jesus talks about the parable of the rich young ruler. We probably know this, right? The man who was very rich, but he refused to give up all he had to follow Jesus. He left Jesus with a frown. And Jesus said, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? How hard is it? And it's hard for the rich. Not because the rich have more to do to get into heaven. It's not like they got to do X, Y, and Z, said Z, to get into heaven. It's not like they have more to do. It's because they have more in front of them that prevents them from acknowledging that they need Jesus. Their stack of wealth in front of them prevents them from seeing that they are poor. We can't be filled or satisfied until we've emptied ourselves of all of our pride. That's what being poor in spirit means. It's an emptying. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Look at your life, friend. Look at your life and realize that nothing in yourself can achieve anything without Jesus. Your wealth is nothing. Your life is nothing if you don't have Jesus. poor in spirit. Fill yourself with Jesus. Be satisfied with Jesus. And that's what Zacchaeus was doing here. He was blessed. He was happy. He was joyful because he'd finally seen that all this wealth in front of me is useless. I have something, Zacchaeus must have thought. I have something that will fulfill my life, that will give me stability, something that I can actually hope in that won't be gone when I die. Zacchaeus stood up. Here we see it. The wee man, he stands up. Might be small, might not be able to see over the crowd, but he stands up and pledges to repay those who he's cheated. We see here the importance of repentance. He's happy, he's joyful, because what's happened in his heart is now being displayed in his life. Zacchaeus doesn't have any need of his treasure anymore. He's found his treasure. His treasure's Jesus now. I love what one commentator says here. He says, love for Jesus can motivate us for greater things than legalism or guilt or manipulation ever can do. Repentance means a changed existence. It means I'm going this way towards destruction, and I'm completely changing my course. I'm going towards life. It's an about face. And it happens differently in all of us when we repent. Sometimes it's a very quick about face and we completely leave everything that we've done behind. But sometimes it's slow for some of us. And we need grace. We need the Spirit to help us in that. But we know that the Christian struggle is true for everybody. Everybody struggles. Even though we repent and we tell with our mouths and show with our lives that God has changed our hearts, that God has raised us from the dead, there's still the effects of death in us. There's still signs of what we were. But we need to remember that there will be a day when we can completely leave all that behind. Zacchaeus left his wealth behind, but there'd still be struggles going on in his life. It wasn't completely easy for him after that. And it's not for us as Christians. So we must struggle each day by his Spirit. Pray to God and ask him for help in this. We do have hope. And we see here in verse 9, today salvation has come to this house. When we repent of our sin and trust in Jesus, we're immediately rescued from sin and death and hell and the wrath of God to come. Immediately, today, salvation has come. So Zacchaeus, as we see here, was a man who was changed by Jesus. Are you? Are you somebody who has been changed by Jesus? Have you met with Jesus? Have you dined with him? Have you welcomed him into your heart and your life and allowed him to change you? Friends, the purpose of his existence, remember, the purpose of why Jesus came was to seek and save the lost. We saw that in verse 10. And that doesn't say anything about Jesus simply living a good life or being a good example or teaching some good things. He did all those things. But the purpose of his existence was to seek and save the lost. And Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners, the friend of outcasts, calls you to come and dine with him at his house. So let's not let our pride stand in the way. Because we are lost without Jesus. We have gone astray. We're like a city whose rebels have revolted against it. We're like a traveler who's lost. We're like a prisoner who's chained. But Christ sets us free. Christ sets us free. He seeks us and saves us. So seek Jesus. Receive Jesus. Be changed by Jesus. And run to the tree of life. And be found by him. Let's pray. God, we acknowledge our need of you today. We acknowledge that we are like Zacchaeus. Our hearts are corrupt. We are sinners. We are outcasts. We don't deserve you. And yet that's exactly what you've done. You've come to seek and save us. We pray that tonight, this morning, those here today who do not know that, Lord, would seek you, would receive you, would be changed by you, would cry out to you, Lord God, save me, a sinner. Pray that as Christians, we would cry out daily for you to save us. And we thank you that you have saved us. Bless our time, we pray in Christ's name.